That's not working. Oh, now, yeah. Ooh, there you go. Nice, nice. Hey, I got a 30-second video I want you to watch because it's just funny. Yeah, you just go ahead and watch this. It's real funny. There's no sound here on the video. There's supposed to be sound. In the background, there's Billy Graham preaching. And you know, this kind of happens sometimes. Yeah, you kind of go, there we go. Well, I know, I'll be honest, that's me sometimes too. I haven't been preaching every Sunday. Sometimes I'm in church. Sometimes I'm going, oh boy. And like, anyways, I have been there, and just want to let you know, today, please pay attention, because it's going to actually be a really good sermon. It's going to be about the spiritual discipline of contentment, and this is a really hard spiritual discipline to kind of learn, because it is not something that comes natural to people. We're not born with this. The Apostle Paul said this. He says, "Not that I'm speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need." The Apostle Paul said he's learned to be content in all things. This is a hard lesson to learn. What does the word learn mean? The Greek and Strong's Greek lexicon, this dictionary, the Greek word is manthano. And it's manthano means learning key facts, gaining factual knowledge as someone learns from experience, often with the implication of reflection. One has come to realize. This is the kind of learning Paul says that this is how he's learned to be content. Now, if you take that kind of that expand definition, put it back into Philippians 4, verse 11, 12, I think we get a better feel for what's really being said here. It says, Paul says, "Not that I'm speaking of being in need, for I have learned through experience, whatever situation I am, to be content. I know how to be brought low. I know how to abound in any and every circumstances. I have learned through life and reflection, the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need." This learning is through, we're not born with this. We don't get this when we become a Christian. We learn this in life. And this is a very difficult lesson to learn in life. I want to share with you 3 points about how to apply the spiritual discipline of contentment so we can have more peace in our hearts throughout the week. Number one is be aware of your heart. Be aware of your heart. Galatians 5, verse 19, 21 talks about the lusts of the flesh. The Apostle Paul talks about these postures of the heart that do not honor God, that our flesh nature just naturally wants to do. And it reads, "The acts of flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like." The Apostle Paul says our natural sin nature that we're born with, they naturally want us to do these things. And there's 2 things to keep in mind about this. One is we never outgrow these. We can be in our 60s, 70s, 90s, and we're still going to be struggling with some of these things. It's just part of being human. Another interesting thing about this is it needs no help from the demonic. The devil doesn't have to come in here and tempt us this way, and then our flesh nature kind of follows suit. That's not how it works. Our flesh nature will love to do these things without any encouragement from the enemy at all. Even idolatry and witchcraft. Not everything is spiritual warfare. Sometimes it's just our own fallen flesh nature. I was reminded once of a gal who asked my wife and myself to come to her new house that she rented. Okay, she, in the middle of the night, she heard this boom, 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 boom. Boom, 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 boom. And she was like getting, what is this? Like getting kind of scared. Like what's going on here? And then it woke her son up. And she, so it's not just her imagining that this is really going on. She's like, what's going on here? So she asked Tyler to come over. We come over. We pray for the house and blessed it and whatever. And next night, same thing. Boom, 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 boom. In the middle of the night, she's like what is going on? She's thinking it's spiritual warfare. And she gets to the morning and she steps out of the house. She just looks at the house. She goes, hey, what? That's a mighty big tree. She looks over, and this is a big, giant mango tree. It's hanging over the house. And the mangoes are ripe, and they're falling off the mango tree, and boom, on the tin roof, and bump, 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 bump. Boom, bump, 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 bump. It's like not everything's spiritual warfare. Sometimes it's our own fallen flesh nature just poking its ugly head out, and we got to smack it back down. But in saying that, sometimes it is spiritual warfare. Sometimes it is the demonic tempting us. In 1 Peter 5, verse 8, it says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Sometimes it is spiritual warfare. When I was in Beijing, my wife and I, we moved to Beijing, and I'm susceptible to chest infections. And I got I was really sick in Beijing several times. And one time I was just, I mean, it was just so bad. It was way too much. I'm like, what is going on here? This is way too like out of the norm, even for me. And I said, Tali, can you come in here? And she came into the bedroom. She said, can we pray against any spiritual warfare that could be on me? And so we prayed. We bound it in the name of Jesus, told it to go where Jesus would have it to go. And 50% better. Like, oh, like instantly 50% better. I was still sick. There was still a problem, if you will, but the enemy comes in behind it and makes it worse than it actually is. Now, anybody who's been married here for more than like one day will attest to this, right? Because you have an argument with the spouse, and next thing you know, it's like blowing up. You're going, oh, like what is going on with this going on? There's still a problem, but the enemy comes in behind it and makes the problem even worse. And that happens a lot. That happens often. Hey, Todd, you know where my trash can went to? I have an illustration here. And, you know, when you take the trash out, sometimes you take the trash out because it's too full. Now, other times you take the trash out when it stinks, right? You know, when it just, you know, you made fish the other night and you forget to take it out in the morning and you come home from work and you're going, oh, whoa, time to take the trash out. When the trash stinks, that's when you take the trash out, right? Well, it's also true with our own hearts. When our hearts start stinking for whatever reason, there is fits of rage, there's jealousy, there is sadness or fear or hopelessness or whatever stinking thinking we're holding on to, it's time to take the trash out. But the problem is oftentimes we kind of love our trash. We kind of love our stink. You know, some of us, we kind of like our self-pity. Some of us, we like our bitterness. We hang on to that, even though it's defiling people around us. Some of us, we love our own stink, and we don't really want to let it go. And I think that, I think God wants us to let it go. And when we catch our heart stinking, we no longer abide with contentment. And we have to learn how to take out the trash when it stinks. And the first step is to be aware of the heart. The second thing to be aware of is to confess sin. And that is to confess sin. We talked about this last week before. This is actually really important stuff. If we are an absolute La La Land, we are in fantasy La La Land if we think that if we have habitual like sin in our lives and it's bad, we're crying out to God for help, that we're going to get God's full help. We can summon God's help, but it works better when we confess our sin. I mean, even we talked about this last month or 2 months ago about anger. Ephesians 4, verse 26, 27, the Apostle Paul says, anger is not sin. He says, in your anger, do not sin. So anger is not sin. We can sin in our anger, but it says, in your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. And do not give the devil a foothold. I think what the Apostle Paul is saying there is if we hang on to anger and bitterness, it can turn into a foothold for the enemy to come in upon our lives. And this is true with any kind of stinking thinking. And we have to confess the sin and then ask God to please help our minds to change. We can't be looking at porn on the internet and ask God to suddenly take sickness off the family. That's not how it works. We got to confess the sin first. We can't be stuck in bitterness and then ask God to bless our business and our finances. No, we got to do business with God first with the sin in our lives. I was in the Philippines a couple months ago with my wife, Tyler, and we were on a day excursion. It was real fun. We had to leave real early in the morning. We left the hotel around 4 a.m. And about 5 a.m., we passed a small town. I don't know where it was. And there was a procession of people following somebody who was in the very front of the line. And the person in the very front of the line had a statue about this big. And they're kind of carrying the statue. And a bunch of people were behind them. And they were throwing their hands in the air and doing stuff. And I was like, wow, what's that? So I asked our tour guide, hey, what's going on there? And he goes, oh, that's an honor to be given to the patron saint of this area. Okay. And so I started asking questions about patron saints in the Philippines. And it turns out the patron saints are actually kind of a big thing in the Philippines. And a lot of communities have one. And I asked him, do you have one from where you came from? He goes, oh yeah, we have our patron saint is so-and-so. And I go, oh, okay. I said, but you know, is this like maybe like honoring the saint that went before us? Because there's nothing in the scriptures that say don't honor people. It's good to honor people. That's good. Or do you worship the patron saint? And firm, he said, oh, I worship the patron saint. Okay. I was kind of like trying to kind of steer him back towards 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5, talking about there's only one mediator between man and God. That man is Christ Jesus. And I was like, wow. If we had a big idol in our lives and we're kind of carrying it around, I don't know. You can pray to God to bless your business and he might, because he's so gracious and good, but he might not. I mean, get rid of the sin. Get rid of the sin. And the beautiful thing is when we confess the sin, God is right there to forgive us, right there to reinstate us, right there to help us and to is just to help us. I mean, I've known plenty of folks in ministry that were in a drunken stupor or high on drugs or in the pit of despair for whatever reason. And they cry out to Jesus and they say, forgive me. I'm a mess, man. I need you, God. Forgive me. And they get saved. They have a supernatural encounter with God. I've seen this happen many times. And it is a wonderful thing. You know, I love this verse out of Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22, 23. It says, through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Man, God's mercies are new every morning. You're not going to miss them. They're new every morning. And we go before a holy God and say, I'm so sorry. I messed up again. I don't know what's wrong with me. God is right there to forgive you. I had to give up partying. I was a hard partier for years, for 3 years, every day partying. And for a year, I was going to Bible studies and partying. How's that, huh? I know some of you all have been there, right? And I learned about grace because I knew I couldn't party anymore because God was going to forgive me. And I just, his grace, he was going to forgive me. And I knew I couldn't hurt his feelings anymore. it was just wrong. And I knew it was also hurting me. And so I was like, Lord, you gotta have the full access in my life. If you have kids here, have you ever had a disagreement with your child, particularly a teenager, and they go to the bedroom all mad, but stop it, mad, and slam the door. Yeah, I heard amen over here. parents, we've kind of all been there. Is that child suddenly no longer your child? Well, no, of course not. But there's a separation between you and the child. It's this door, right? This big, giant door. Well, that's what sin is. Sin puts up a door between you and God. You're not no longer his child. You're not suddenly going to lose your salvation. No, just confess the sin and the door opens and a relationship with you and your Heavenly Father is free again. There's free flowing again. And this is the beauty of God. His mercies are new every morning. And when it comes to learning the spiritual discipline of contentment, it's going to take time. You're not going to get this right in a week. This is going to take like months and years and some more years to begin to move in the rhythm with the Holy Spirit, a cadence with the Holy Spirit, with contentment in your life. So when it comes to finding the spiritual discipline of contentment, one, be aware of your heart. Two, confess sin. And three, assert your identity in Christ. This was part of the sermon last week. And because we do deal with a spiritual warfare with an enemy coming in and wrecking our contentment, I want to review these five principles again. We're going to go through them kind of fast. But this is good spiritual warfare kind of principles here. One, Jesus defeated Satan on the cross, Colossians 2, verse 15. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Next is Jesus has all authority in heaven and on earth. Matthew 28, verse 18 reads, then Jesus came to them, that's the disciples, and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given unto me. Jesus died on the cross. God the Father honored Jesus and gave him all authority in heaven and on earth. And the cool thing is God then shares that with us. We have every spiritual blessings Jesus Christ has. This is Ephesians 1, verse 3. Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. We have authority over the demonic because we're in Christ Jesus, and he shares that authority with us. Next verse here, Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. 1 John 3, verse 8. But when people kept on sinning, it showed they belonged to the devil, who has been sinning since the beginning. But the Son of God came to destroy these works of the devil. Part of the reason why Jesus Christ came was to destroy the works of the devil and to destroy the works of the devil in our lives. And lastly, from last week, God in you is bigger than the devil. 1 John 4, verse 4. You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 16. Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's spirit lives in you? Oh, that's a big verse. That's a big verse. The Holy Spirit lives inside of you. You are a temple of the Holy Spirit. You're walking around and God's inside of you all the time. You're carrying God wherever you go. That's powerful. You got the third person of the Trinity who God the Father, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. They created all of the billions of galaxies. Scientists cannot count how many galaxies there are. All the billions of stars in this one galaxy alone. We can't know how many stars are. Scientists keep discovering more. This planet, all the blades of grass, all the bugs, all the dragonflies. God created every single wing of every dragonfly. And this God is inside of you by the Holy Spirit, you and God make a majority. And when there's no contentment in your heart, and there is fear, there is hopelessness, there is despair, there is anger, there is lust, there is whatever it is, it's time to put your foot down and go, no, this is not who I am. This is not how God wants me to be. We become aware of our heart. We confess the sin, and then we assert our identity in Christ. How do we assert our identity in Christ? I'm going to give you five ways of doing that. One is to rebuke it. Just flat out rebuke it. Just rebuke it. I remember when my kids were little, and they were started having nightmares, and it was kind of weird. Like they normally don't get nightmares, and then they started getting nightmares, and they wake up screaming, like they call them night terrors. Parents, you ever have a kid like wake up and screaming in the middle of the night, and they're going, "Oh, what is going on here?" Like, and so we walk over there, and you kind of comfort them, and they're like, "Oh, I had a bad dream," and they're crying, like, "Oh, I'm so sorry," and you comfort them and go back to bed, and then it happens again. Like, "Oh, happened again," and so you comfort them, you put it back down. You go back to bed. It happens again, like three times in one night. You're going, this is like, what's going on here? And then the next night, it happens again. The third night, happens again. My wife and I are like going, this is not normal. There's something going on here. This is spiritual warfare coming in and harassing my kids, harassing us, and rebuke it in the name of Jesus. It's the fine. Like, oh, wow. I guess that worked. I guess that's true. I want to encourage you, when it comes to learning contentment and taking that piece of your own home under your authority, it's a learning process. And at times, dealing with kids that have night terrors or other things that are just, they're really hard to deal with. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13 says, "No temptation has seized you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you're tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it." When it comes to some of the times in our lives, when it comes to regaining that contentment, that peace in our home and in our life, we're going to have to rebuke it. Just rebuke whatever's going on that's dark inside, that's dark that's bothering you, dark that's inside of you. Rebuke it in the name of Jesus. B, you need God to give you a word. Get into the word. Get into the word. I've been talking to several people here at SIF, and they're doing doctorates. Anybody here doing a doctorate here? I know some of you all. not a fun process. I finished my doctorate early this year, and when you do a doctorate, typically you have to do what's called a doctoral defense. And so you're going to stand up in front of like three or four, PhD brainiacs, and they're going to pick apart your dissertation right in front of you. That's not a pleasant experience, because you spend like a year writing this thing, and then their job is to rip it apart, and you're going, oh, like here it comes, and I'm going, oh God, like I'm going, God, please, like what do you think, like how much do you prepare for your dissertation defense? I mean, you wrote the whole thing, so you know what you're talking about, but they may say, oh, there's one line here, and there's one line there, and you're going, oh, like, do you memorize what you basically say on every page in your defense? Because you may say, oh, the answer is back on page 31. If you look in the middle there, I talked about this here, and the answer to that is page 120. I addressed that issue here. I mean, do you, like, map out your whole 200-page or 300-page dissertation and map it all out so you memorize it all? So in case those questions come up, anyways, the Holy Spirit saying, stop, stop, stop. Doug, peace. Peace I leave with you. Not as the world do I give to you. Therefore, you know, do not be disheartened. Kept saying to me, peace, don't worry, peace. Like, do I memorize, do I map the whole thing out, memorize it all again? And he's like, peace. Like, oh, okay. Didn't map it out. Didn't do any memorization, no, nothing at all. Went in there and had a great time. Oh, was after an hour and a half, they're like, well, I guess we're finished now. And I'm like, what? I want to keep talking about this. I'm like, no, this is good stuff. I'm very passionate about what I wrote about, but they're kind of laughing at me. And I'm like, come on, this is great stuff. And I needed a word. Like I'm stressed out. I needed a word for God to give to me for that contentment, that peace to come back into my heart. It was not there naturally. I had to kind of go to God and say, God, what is your word? Sometimes in life, we may have to go to the scriptures and find God in the scriptures, but we're going to need the word at times for God to speak to us about the discontent in our hearts. And God is faithful, and he will do that for you. Next one is ask a friend to be praying for you. Oh, man. If there's one thing here, if you guys can get, is this point right here. This is one of the greatest blessings on this side of eternity is a prayer partner. If you have somebody who's got your back and willing to pray for you, it works wonders. I've seen this happen again and again and again. Had a friend of mine who's a pastor and had a lot of kind of like challenges going on in his home life and in the work life and another part of his life. And they, like a perfect storm, they all came crashing in on him within like a 3 or 4 month kind of window. And he was just like, oh, like this is just been overwhelmed and like dragging himself. And like, oh, and finally I sat down with me and I'm like, bro, that, you know, how can I be praying for you? And he kind of out comes all this big, long story. And I'm going, oh, wow, that's terrible. I'm going to be praying for you. He's like, yeah, thanks. I need that. I need that. And like, I'm like, Lord, this is my friend. My friend. I want this burden upon my heart, be praying for him and lifting him up for the next several days. Give it to me, God. Give it to me. Help me to bear some of his weight. Oh, man, I was praying hard for him all week long. Lord, oh, bless him. Lord, bless him. Oh, blah, 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 blah. A week later, he's like, man, I can't believe how much things are better. There's still problems. There's still challenges, but his heart was so much cleaner and freer. I said, what you need is, I remember telling him, I said, you need to return back to Normalville. I think God's saying to me, to you, you will get back to Normalville, but just hang in there. And when I talked to him a week later, he goes, dude, I think I'm back to Normalville. I'm like, ah, yes, yes. That's great when you can intercede for a friend like that. And some of you here, you know what I'm talking about because you do that regularly with your friends. And that's awesome. And some of us here, some others here who maybe don't have a prayer partner, get a prayer partner. It is super, super life-changingly awesome. Another one here is fasting. Oh, fasting. No, anything but fasting, right? Fasting is a great spiritual discipline. I do it all the time and it just helps. It just works. And my recommendation when you first start fasting, just fast food, but drink kind of whatever you want. Yeah, but if you're going to go for the cocos, and just no junju, okay? You know, just get the nai cha. No junju, just the nai cha. You know, no black pearls. But just fast. And the Lord, he's gonna help you. He's just going to help you. I remember the first time moving to Beijing, and every one of us have been here. Remember the first time moving to China? And you're going, what? Like, what? Like, what? Like, trying to find a place to live. And you're going, what? And like, oh, man, like, God, I don't know if I signed up for this, God. I don't know if I signed up for this. This is like, oh, this is hard. You know, everything's trial and error, right? You go to the grocery store. Everything's trial and error. Gee, I wonder how this tastes. I have no idea. I wonder how this tastes. Well, I have no idea. You know, everything's trial and error. It's like, I remember I was on my knees in the hotel room at the, at a Sheraton, or no, it was a Marriott, right? Marriott Hotel. Anyways, and all my knees crying, going, God, I gave up everything to come here. And like, I'm overwhelmed. So did you. So did each and every one of you. I'm not preaching the choir. I am preaching the choir. You all know this. It's hard. And for me, I got into the word. I had people praying for me. I just, it wasn't working. It wasn't enough. And I'm like, all right, Lord, I'm just going to stop eating until you give me peace. And I wish I could say we suddenly found a great place to live and suddenly we had a whole new like grocery store, you discovered that all our favorite food, or none of that happened. But after about a day and a half, I had peace. I had contentment again. We still didn't have a place to live. The food was still like, whoa, like still trial and error every time. And other things were difficult. But I had peace. And I'll take that any day. I'll take that any day over food. And when it comes to finding contentment in life, learning how to be content, sometimes rebuke it. Sometimes we got to get into the word. Sometimes you got to be asking a friend to pray for you. Sometimes you got to be fasting. And the last one here is, that's kind of a fun one, is put on worship music. Just put on worship music. This is kind of the easiest one I have here. Put on worship music. It is so amazing at times what worship music does to the atmosphere in your home. Got a good friend of mine, family. They were in the New England area, experienced a lot of really hard things there. Just life was very hard for them for many reasons, and they felt like they just had to get away. And so they moved down to Florida and keep in touch with them. And they're like, oh, so how's it going? And like, la, 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 la. And then my wife and I actually visited them. And we get the home. And they had this kind of this junky, it's called a CD player. I don't know if you all know what a CD player is. Little compact discs, shiny things. Anyways. They worship music playing there. And she goes, oh, yeah, we keep it on 24/7. Like, really? 24/7? Because, yeah, we just keep it on 24/7. And when we started doing this, the whole house felt like clean. It felt like wholesome. It felt like the way home is supposed to be. Some of y'all, the home it doesn't feel right. Yeah, put some worship music on. Yeah, that's easy. And I think you're going to find the home is going to be this gal said it became a whole grade better. All their days became a whole grade better. A D day was a C day. Not bad. A D day, a C day gets to be a B day. That's pretty good. A B day is not an A day. And an A day is like an A-plus day. Like it raised the level of spiritual contentment in the house a full grade higher. It's like sometimes when ships leave ports, they have to leave a port when it's high tide, not low tide. Because if you leave it at high tide, you might get hung up on the rocks. That happens sometimes in our life. We kind of get hung up on the rocks of just lustful flesh issues and self-pity and doubt and fear. And we get hung up on there. But if we raise the tide of our spirits, we can cruise right over those same exact circumstances and not get hung up at all. I have a verse here for you. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 4 and 5. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God and take every thought captive to obey Christ. When we come to this cross in the road that we know our hearts are not at peace right now, there's something wrong. We got to do something about it. We have to get the trash. And in order to take out the trash, we have to actually take it out. We have to actually do something about it. We just can't sit there and be like, well, I guess it'll get better in a couple days or a couple weeks. No. Take the trash out like today, like tonight. Take it out. And you'll find contentment and peace coming back in your heart and your home that will be very refreshing. That sound good? Let's pray. Lord, I want to say thank you so much that you give principles in your word about contentment, but that you don't leave us powerless, but that you are with us by the Holy Spirit. Lord, some of us this week we're going to have to give you our hearts. There's stuff inside of us that's just, it's like poison, and it's slowly killing us. Lord, we're tired of it. We're tired of the stink, and we're going to take it out. Lord, forgive us of our sin. We rebuke all spiritual warfare off of us in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I pray you bless us to apply these principles you've learned today to live a better and a more God-honoring life this week. In your name, Jesus. Amen.